Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Feast of Pentecost was celebrated in the Old Testament. It was celebrating that blessing that God gave, the beginning of the harvest. Can you believe harvest is already coming in? My co-worker at work said, we just got our first patch of strawberries from our strawberry bushes. Oh my, wow. It's harvest time, right now. Amen. You look on the hillsides, the hills are green with trees. The trees are full of leaves. People are in their gardens. People are doing, we should be thankful to God for His great blessings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in the Old Testament, they did have a Feast of Pentecost. It was celebrated year after year. Continuously, they were to give God thanks at this time of year. Amen. 50 days after the death of Jesus, He rose again. Amen. Excuse me, 3 days after, but 3 days after His death was Pentecost. Amen. But then, on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we're going to get into that. Of course, I'm going to preach about Pentecost and Pentecost Sunday. You might have guessed that. Amen. My topic today is the great event at Pentecost. Amen. It was already a holiday, but this day is now remembered for the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Its meaning has a fresh and new meaning to us today. Amen. After the establishment of the church. Amen. Let me begin. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost. Someone say Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Get this now. And they were all, someone say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. The great event on Pentecost. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to know of Your Word. To have already felt Your Spirit, Lord. Lord, to know this great event that took place on the day of Pentecost. It is displayed to us in the Bible, the actions and the things that were done, Lord, were by Your hand and for Your glory. Lord, we give You praise. We give You honor. Lord, all of the thanks, Jesus, is unto You. I pray Your will, Lord, here today on this Pentecost Sunday, in this service with this people, Lord, have Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Pentecost Sunday. Amen. That's today. If anyone should be celebrating, it should be Pentecostals on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am thankful to God for what He's done for me. I'm thankful that God has done great things in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in my life. We serve a great God. Amen. Yeah, there's great things that happen in the Bible. God spoke, and there was an earth. Amen. He made all of creation and the stars also. Those are pretty great things, don't you think? He's a great God. Amen. There's been great events in my life. Amen. There's been great events. I'm sure you can recount some good things that God has done in your life. God's done great things in my life. Amen. God's been really good to me. Amen. The great event that is recorded in the Bible, in the book of Acts. The great event on Pentecost. It's my topic today. Amen. In fact, this great event, Acts chapter 2, is really the beginning of the New Testament church. Oh, but, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins. That's true. It's the New Testament. It's the new account of the life and the times and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the New Testament church doesn't start until the book of Acts. Amen. The New Testament church is from this point, the day of Pentecost, and forward. Amen. Until that point in the book of Acts. In fact, all the way through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they're living in the time of the Old Testament. And it was on the day of Pentecost. It was on the birth of the church. It was the infilling of the Holy Ghost as the initial sign, the evidence that God had poured out His Spirit. Until that event, that great event, I may say, then the New Testament church was begun. Praise the Lord. This great event is a central theme in the Bible. The New Testament church. The fulfillment of what Jesus came to do. Amen. It's a primary topic in the Bible. Now, I'm not disregarding or making small of the great other things that God did in the Bible. Creation in itself is miraculous. It is spectacular. It is beyond really the under. It takes faith to believe that God is that great. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament that are spectacular. Amen. Genesis all the way to Malachi. Old Testament happenings were recorded and they're great. Amen. There are great events also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and the Gospels. They record the great things that Jesus said and that He did. The miracles that were taking place. You know, it's a great thing if you have your hearing restored. If you have your eyes renewed. If you were blind from your birth and you could see. That, my friend, would be miraculous. A miracle. It's a great thing. Great thing to be raised from the dead. That's a pretty great thing, don't you think? Amen. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Great events took place in the epistles. Corinthians through Jude. In the account of the New Testament. The New Testament church, if you will. Certainly there are great events that take place in the book of Revelation. Amen. Great events that are yet to happen, still going to happen. The second coming of Jesus is going to happen. Amen. And it will be a great event. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, this great event, Pentecost, was prophesied. It was told about. It was foretold by holy men of old as they proclaimed the word of and the will of God. Amen. The Old Testament prophets said that this was going to happen. They told God told the prophets to tell them about it. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost regularly picks me up. Amen. There's days I feel down. There's days I feel tired. I just want to lay down on the couch. I get home from work, I'm done, I'm spent. But you know what? It's church day. And it's time to go to church. You know what? It never fails. You shouldn't stay home because you're tired, because you will feel better when you go to church. Amen. It's every time. It never fails. Every time that I lift up the Lord and I praise His name and I magnify God, it's me that gets blessed. I feel better when I worship the Lord. Amen. God reaches down and picks me up. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff. The Old Testament said it was going to happen. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Amen. Isaiah, again, we just read 28, chapter 28, now to verse, chapter 32 and verse number 15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. I'll tell you what, God wants His Spirit to be poured out on all men. Amen. God wants us to be blessed and fruitful where we are. God wants to bless your life. Again, from Isaiah, moving down to chapter 44, verses 3 and 4. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. God will give you what you need. And floods upon the dry ground. Get this now. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. Isaiah is saying there's a promise to come on your children. There's a promise to come on the generations yet to be. And my blessing upon thine offspring. I know it's God that blesses my household. God blesses my children. God blesses my grandchildren. God has changed my heritage. Amen. And my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, and as willows by the water course. They're going to be blessed, nourished, taken care of. God wants to bless you. From the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11 and verse number 19. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh. And will give them an heart of flesh. God, you know what? If you're a old grumpy, snickerty, you know, kind of angry kind of person, you know what? You need the Holy Ghost. You need some Jesus in your life. Amen. You know, Jesus is going to change that hold, that hard spot, into a godly spot. Amen. God wants to make your hardness to be more like Him. Amen. God wants to change you so that, you know, if you had a heart that was afraid of everything, God wants to comfort that fear. God wants to help you in that feeling. God wants to bless you in your life. You need some Jesus. You need some Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel again, down to chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. Oh, wait, I just read that, didn't I? Yep. Ezekiel 37, next chapter, verse number 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I will, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. It might seem impossible, but I tell you, my God can make a way. I tell you, my God wants to put His Spirit in you. Not just before you or around you or with you, but God wants to be in you. Amen. And ye shall live. Praise the Lord. Yes, my life is better because I have the Holy Ghost. Yes, because I have an experience with Jesus Christ. But yet, the best is still to come. Amen. It even gets better. Read the back of the book. We win. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will, not maybe, might, or sometimes. Joel said that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. That gives me hope. Your young men shall see visions. All right, go get them. Verse 29, and also upon thy servants and upon thy handmaidens. In those days will I pour out my Spirit. Joel was telling of our day. He was telling about the day of Pentecost. He was talking about the birth of the church. He was talking about a day that God wanted to fill you with His Spirit. Amen. The Old Testament was telling us it was going to happen. And it did. Praise the Lord. What happened on the day of Pentecost is among the greatest events in all of the history of the world. Amen. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The birth of the New Testament church. The beginning of the household of God. It is greater. It is more significant. It has more power. It is more worthy of note than many other very great things that have taken place. Yes, in the Bible, and yes, in world history. Think if God said to you, go build an ark. It would seem like an impossible task. You mean you want me to cut down a forest and build a big boat with an axe? When I even think I went to the ark, a full-size mock-up. I'm sure it's not exactly it. And I know it's not exactly, but it is the same length and width and height. It's a really big boat. Could you imagine if God said, build an ark? You know what? God's not going to ask you to do anything that He's not willing to help you be successful in. Amen. Whatever it might be, God will help you to do the impossible. Amen. If God asks you to do it, that just gives me assurance that that will be done. Amen. Because God is not in the failing business. Amen. God is successful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let alone building the ark. was a monumentous, ginormous, huge, great event when he got that boat built. Now, how about put two of every unclean animal, and did you know, maybe if you've been through Search for Truth, you do know, that there were sevens of the clean animals. You know, the ones that they sacrificed, the sheep and the goats and the bulls and the cows. The ones that they used for sacrifices, they brought by sevens. And that boat filled up with animals from around the world. Did the penguins walk all the way from the... They don't fly real good. They swim really great, though. Wow. I don't know how that happened, but it was a great event. Amen. God did that. Amen. I think about the great events of the Old Testament. What about the parting of the Red Sea? You got a million plus people with you. Men and women and boys and girls and sheep and cows and all their belongings, their tents, their houses. There's a whole traveling multitude of people following Moses. Moses comes to a place where he can't go to the left and he can't go to the right. And there's a Red Sea in front of him. And now the Egyptian army is coming up behind him. Seems like an impossible task, right? Seems like an impossible place. But what a great event it was when God sent that strong wind and parted the sea, and it became a wall on one side and a wall on the other side. And the wind blew all night long. And in the morning, they were able to walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. Walls of water. I can just imagine myself walking through, and the water is, what, 300 feet deep? Imagine a wall of water 300 feet high. I don't know how deep it was, but that's my imagination. Yeah. Oh, God. You know what? Okay, let's go. I think I'd be putting a little pep in my step. Going across that area. Let's get through here. And then the army that was going to do them harm, that was going to capture them and bring them back, God drowned the army in that same Red Sea. You know what? If God is for you, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible when God is for you. Nothing can stop the will of God. If God wants to deliver you, nothing can stop God from delivering you. Amen. Nothing can stop God's deliverance. Amen. It was a great event. Amen. It was a great event recorded in Scripture. On the other side of the promised land, they spied out the land and they saw the city of Jericho. The walls of Jericho were so tall and so thick that chariots could race on top of the wall. A huge wall, strong and fortified. And here they are. Started out with a great number, 30,000, then down to 10,000, then down to 300. And what do they got? Candles, pitchers, and a trumpet. Now, is that how you would want to go in to fight a battle? You know what? God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. If you'll just follow God's plan, He will give you the victory. It was God's plan to give them the promised land. It was God's plan to overcome the enemy's fortifications. It was God's plan to deliver them the city. When they followed God's plan, you know, march around, be real quiet. You know, don't be talking negative stuff to your buddy. Just keep your mouth shut and follow God's plan. March around the city once each day, 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. Maybe you know the story. If you don't, I hope you'll read it. It's a great event in Bible history. And then they didn't start with catapults and bombs and guns. No. They broke the pitchers, let their light shine, blew their trumpets, and God gave them the victory. Those walls didn't tip over. Those walls sank straight down into the ground. Now, I've never been there, but I've talked to people who have. They said they've excavated walls of the city of Jericho that are in the ground and still there. Amen. The walls still exist. They're just underground. God delivered them the city. That was a great event. I would count that in my book as being a great event that God did. Turning the water into wine, great event. Calming the, or walking on the water, great event. If that's you, Jesus, who is that? I think it might be the Lord. I think it might be. Look over there. Is that Jesus? Is that you? If that's you, Jesus, bid me to come. Come. It's a very short answer. Be careful what you ask the Lord. Not that it, I don't know if it fits here or not, but I was asked to come to Connecticut on a 3-year temporary assignment in 1997. And at the end of that 3 years, I prayed, sought God. God, do you really want me to stay in Connecticut? I was praying about Native American ministries and going into the ministry and possibly pastoring and possibly preaching the gospel and doing the will of God. And God, do you really want me to stay here and take that path? It was a very short answer. He said, yes. I don't know, but it was so emotional. It was so emotional for me. My wife had come with me, and we were in the parking garage, and said, "Why don't you come with me and walk through there? Maybe I'll meet somebody. I want an answer from God. And am I supposed to stay here in this part of the country, right here in this neighborhood? Am I supposed to live here?" And at the time, I lived in Bristol, Connecticut. God said, yes. The rest is history. Yes, God made the way. Yes, God did miraculous. Yes, God did miracles. Yes, God gave us a building. That's a great thing in my book. God did miracles. God filled people with the Holy Ghost. God did wonderful things. God did what He said He would do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and ask God. You can ask God today, Lord, do you want me to serve you? Lord, do you want me to minister? Lord, do you want me to part of the kingdom of God? Ask Him the hard questions today, and God will give you an answer. Amen. Walking on the water. You want me to come? Come. You know, it takes a lot of faith to step out of the... I think the first step would have been the hardest one. Don't you think? Okay, here's the boat and there's the water. Okay. Thinking you're going to dive right... Oh. God kept you afloat. God kept you on top. I'll tell you what. It's a miracle. It's a great event when God does what He says He will do. It's a great event when God brings you through. Amen. It's a great event when God delivers you. Amen. God is really good at great events. How about sleeping in the bottom of the boat and the boat's teetering and tossing and turning and they're bailing the water out. Oh, Lord, don't you even worry that we're about to drown. He wasn't thinking anything about drowning. Comes up, goes to the top, front of the boat, in my imagination. Peace! I made somebody jump. Be still! The voice of authority. Speaking as God, the Creator. The seas calmed down. The wind calmed down. And the ship was at ease. That's a great event. Amen. But more than all of those things, the great events and many more, God poured out His Spirit on all flesh on the day of Pentecost. God filled people with His Spirit in the New Testament. Amen. We can read the account, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James, the disciples. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and His brethren. Verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Amen. There was some great event about to take place. Amen. Here in the book of Acts. Jumping down a little bit. Acts chapter 2. We read already, but let me read again. Beginning at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. A multitude of nations and peoples were gathered together for the feast of Pentecost, for the celebration of the harvest. They were there observing an Old Testament promise. They were giving thanks to God. They came to give offerings. They came to celebrate. They didn't even know what great thing was going to happen. Maybe you came today just because someone invited you. Because it was your habit. Because you've been here before. You know what? There is some greater thing than you have ever imagined available to you today, given to you by God. It's a promise. Just like it was for them on the day of Pentecost. They had come for one thing and they're going to get something even better. Jumping down. I stopped at verse 6. Acts 2. Begin again at verse 14. But Peter, he's about to preach to them. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, everybody here, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophet said. This is what God said was going to happen. This is what the Word of God in the Old Testament said was going to take place. This is the promise. This is what we needed. This is the promise of God. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes in to quote what Joel said, and it shall come to pass in the last days. You know what? We, right here today, in this service, are in the last days. Amen. It's time right now to live for God. Amen. Shall come to pass in the last days. In my book, that's right now. Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You see, this great event that's taking place right here in Scripture, on the day of Pentecost, it's the birth of the New Testament church. It is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I tell you, this event is greater than those other things. Greater than being healed is receiving the Holy Ghost. It's a great thing to be healed, but it's greater to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a great thing to be delivered, but it's a greater thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a great thing if God provides your need, but it's a greater thing to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. One about 120 of them in the upper room. It was noised abroad in all the city. People came together at that spot, in that location where they poured out of that upper room and went out into the streets. And the whole city of Jerusalem was hearing and seeing the wonders of God. 15, 17, I don't know exactly how many nations were there, but many different nations speaking different languages. They all heard them speak with other tongues the wonderful works of God in their own languages. That day, in that single first day, God added to the church. Now, how do you add yourself to the church? God at you. We believe, we have faith in Him. That's our part. We got to believe God. Ask God to forgive us. That's repentance. That's a part of being added to the church. You got to repent. You got to turn from your own path and put yourself on God's path. Believe what God says. You know what? When you believe what God says, you got to give up some of your own thinking. and believe what the Word of God says. Amen. And then to be a part of the body, the church, the body of Christ, being baptized in Jesus' name. That's a needful, necessary step for the remission of sins. Amen. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise from God. Praise the Lord. 3,000 people received that experience because they said they were added to the church. They got to go through all that to be added to the church. Amen. Simon Peter stood with the other 11 disciples. He reminded them of the Old Testament prophecy of Joel. He told them, reminded them of Joel's prophecy was being fulfilled before their very eyes. You are seeing what Joel talked about. Amen. And he told them that they too could have the promise of the Holy Ghost. It was for them. On that day, they could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As a result of Peter's preaching, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 32. This Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, you'll know that in the previous verses in the chapter and book of Acts, they received the Holy Ghost. 9 o'clock in the morning, the whole 120 of them, all of them received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in tongues. It was poured out into the city. And now he's preaching to the crowd. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Almighty. Amen. He's the living Word incarnate. He's the Holy One. He's the Mighty God. He's the all in all. He is the Most High. Verse 37. Now when they heard that preaching, when they heard about who Jesus really is, when they saw it with their own eyes, people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The crowd, the people. It's a normal question. When you hear the wonderful works of God, the greatness of His greatness, the wonders of His wonders, the goodness of His goodness, when you hear how good God is, what do I got to do to get some of that? Whew. How do I get some Jesus? They were pricked in their heart. What should we do? The crowd is asking. It's right here to note this very special, particular thing. This question, what shall we do? The question on how do I get saved is only asked one time in the whole Bible. This is it. It's the only place this question is asked. And no one else except Simon Peter could have effectively answered that question on that day, in that place, with those people. Amen. You see, Jesus had already told Simon Peter, and he had given him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He told him, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He had the keys to unlock the kingdom of God. Amen. There is a key to making it to heaven. The key is Jesus. He's the key to the kingdom. You got to get some Jesus to get into heaven. In fact, just plain old English, you cannot be saved without Jesus. Amen. Now, there's some people that won't like those words, but I am absolutely positive, sure, that the Word of God declares that Jesus is the only living God. Amen. In response to that question, what must we do? We get that verse of Scripture, Acts 2:38. Stand with me. Musicians, would you come? I'm closing here. And Peter said unto them, "Repent." Let's ask Jesus to forgive you. You got to stop living your way and decide to go God's way. Amen. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to turn around and walk towards God. Peter said unto them, "Repent." Saying "I'm sorry" is a great place to start, but it's not enough. Repent and, someone say and. It's a connecting key. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, tells us what to do and how to do it. To be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Tells us why. For the remission. That's the payment of sins. It is only Jesus who died on the cross at Calvary that could possibly. He's the only sinless human that was ever born. He was the only one capable of being that sacrifice. And they didn't take his life. He gave it. He willingly became the sacrifice for sin. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Get this now. And ye shall. Someone say shall. I am so thankful for that word. That's right there in that verse. Because that tells me of an assurity. God wants every. Some people might, "Well, that maybe she got it and he got it. And God will give it," like my wife said earlier today. "Oh, God will give it to me when he's ready." No, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost as soon as you are ready. Amen. If you are ready to live for God, if you are ready to have God's Spirit in you, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost today. Right now, in this service. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This great event, perhaps the greatest event in recorded human history. God filled people with the Holy Ghost. That event is extended to this service today. It could be the greatest event ever in your life to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The next verse of Scripture, verse 39, Acts 2:39. I'm closing with this. His next words said, for the promise. Read this out loud with me. Would you read this last verse and I'm closing. For the promise is unto you. Go like this. He wants me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing the plan. This is it, my friend. This is the plan of God for salvation. This is how He wants to save you. This is how He wants you to live. This is what He promised. This is what the Old Testament prophets said. This is what the New Testament disciples and believers experienced. And this is what God has for us today. It's a great event that's available right now. Amen. Come on. We're closing right here. Come on and let's pray. Come on, let's gather around the front. Let's believe Jesus together. Let's lift our hands and lift our voice and magnify God. God wants to do a spectacular thing. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be lifted up in Him today. God wants to meet you right here. Let's do it. Let's worship. Let's magnify God together.